Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Don't get to talk to him often enough. I'm going to break this into two parts today because John Sauber is going to join us at 4:06. Chance to talk to my good friend, Tony Knopf. Sir, we do not talk often enough. Welcome back.
Always look forward to this. Best part of the month.
All right, so
here somebody tells me we're going to talk about the Pac-12.
What do you say we start with that, just for a couple laughs? They were supposed to have a media deal in September. They were supposed to have a media deal in November. They were supposed to have a media deal before New Year's Day. I think I texted you and I said, by the time we talk, they still won't have a media deal. We're talking. They still don't have a media deal.
Don't still have a media deal.
So where is it right now? Because my understanding is Amazon would love to have Friday night, but as a standalone, and ESPN would like to have Saturday night, but as a standalone.
As a standalone.
There's a lot of other games.
The problem they're running into is it's like, you know, a lot of times when you look at deals like this, it's easiest to look at it in just your real life experience. You know, the experience that we all have, that you and I have, that the listeners have. And if somebody is bluffing that they have, I have a lot of takers, you wouldn't delay the bid, you know, three times now, which clear costs up. So we know that the numbers aren't what they want. And the biggest problem they're running into right now is one, they just released the numbers as far as what the distributions are for the teams. And I think I saw it was 28.5 for some of the teams, all the way down to 28.5, between 28.5 and 37.5, which, for frame of reference for those listening, that's less than half and in some cases a third of what teams are getting in the Big Ten and the SEC.
Right.
So you're already dealing from a really poor hand, right? You're already in this financial shootout with different organizations and you're well behind. What they have to, what you talked about, which is spot on, is really the only people who are pushing hard. There's been some conversation about Apple being involved. Amazon definitely wants to be involved. But really the only cards that the Pac-12 has right now are those late night games. It's the standalone Friday night game and it's the Pac-12 After Dark on Saturday. And the funny thing about Pac-12 After Dark, I don't know if it comes, if it boils to a point where you hear it so much out there, is the schools out here hate it. So Chris Peterson, the coach for Washington for years, would openly lament the Pac-12 After Dark game. He didn't want to play in it. They didn't know about it until the last minute. He said it messed up their schedules. He didn't like it. And so now, you know, George Kay, who's the Pac-12 commissioner, he's in a really tough spot because you have the four corner schools, which for the listeners, I'll define them. The four corner schools are Arizona State, Arizona, you know, down in the corners, Colorado, Utah, the ones that are, you know, pushing their way into Big 12 territory. But then you also have Oregon and Washington, who are kind of the last gems left on the national level. It's even kind of a stretch to say Oregon. I mean, Uncle Phil funds that. But Washington's a major market, right? It's a top 10 market. Seattle's got viewers. And now they're up for grabs. And so it is not unreasonable that we could see the total loss of the Pac-12. Because you just can't be viable if you lose the four corner schools. Now, they're talking about bringing in San Diego State and SMU, right? Those are the two programs that it sounds like they're coming in one way or the other. But I can ask you directly, does San Diego State have any name recognition in the Midwest?
Nope.
None, right?
Nope.
If we were talking about SMU in 1985, then that would be a nice get. But ever since the death penalty, that program hasn't mattered. And they've done everything they can to matter. They brought in June Jones. They brought in Larry Brown. They brought in all these big names, and they just can't get SMU back to the days of the Pony Express, right? Remember the Pony Express back in the 80s?
I mean, look at TCU's coach. He was there at SMU, went to TCU.
Went to TCU, right? And where was he before that, Sonny Dykes?
Yeah.
Cal.
Yep.
Right? And Cal and Stanford have essentially made it clear that they don't care about sports. I mean, Stanford's already, and I apologize, covering some of this stuff simply just because I know it probably doesn't get covered out there much because the Pac-12 has become a little bit unimportant. It's like Stanford cut the capacity of their football stadium in half, and they still can't sell that.
Right.
It only seats 40,000 fans. Could you imagine Penn State only having 40,000 tickets?
Penn State gets more than that for the blue-white game, which is a scrimmage in April.
I mean, they talk about, you know, Krzyzewski Town, right, where you go and camp for a game. I mean, you'd have Penn State students camping for games a month and a half in advance if you only had 40,000 feet.
Right.
And so it's just this unmitigated disaster that Larry Scott has left George K, where you have Oregon and Washington begging to follow UCLA and USC. And you and I have talked about this in the past. USC and UCLA don't want Oregon and Washington. In fact, they're sticking it to them. And just for the listeners' understanding, you know, when they did the first media deal back when Larry Scott was pounding his chest saying that the Pac-12 is going to be a major national program, they're going to be the first ones to own their own rights, you know, in a different way than even the Big Ten is doing, they negotiated around the table as teams. And UCLA and USC came to the table, which is much like the English Premier League level, and they said, look, we're driving the mass majority of the media and the name recognition across the country. We just are. We would like a bigger cut. And at the time, Washington State's AD was this guy, Bill Moose, who your listeners would know. Bill Moose was at Oregon first when they came to prominence. He went to Washington State, and then he went to Nebraska, and he was an AD in the Big Ten for a little while, and there was not a lot of success there, and he got axed. Bill and the Oregon AD at the time, name escapes me, I think it might have been Blotty, they went and put a ton of pressure on UCLA and USC and made it so that it was an even spread, right, across dollars. And they basically stepped on USC's throat when USC was down in football because they had the sanctions from the NCAA, and UCLA was struggling to find a coach in basketball. And what they did was they took all that money to compete with UCLA and USC, and Bill Moose goes out and gives Mike Leach an $8 million contract and then builds a new stadium that nobody goes to. So USC and UCLA, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, well, I think they want somebody out west, like Crab Lees or that sort of thing. They do not. They definitely do not. They have no love loss for UW and Oregon. They were not partners. They did not help USC, UCLA, or the Pac-12 do what was necessary. They looked out for themselves. So all this talk about those two schools coming, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I think the last time I saw, and this is the same kind of deal that, like, Houston is talking about if Houston comes to the Pac-12, they're willing to give up their share for the first 5 years. They're going to take a smaller cut to come join the Big Ten. I mean, talk about lack of leverage.
But there's another element to it, and you already answered my second question, because I already knew that USC and UCLA want to be the only Big Ten show in the West. Right? They do. And that's what a lot of people don't seem to realize. They don't want those guys there with them. Here's the next part. But in order to do this, even at a reduced number, Tony, it's been my understanding that the networks are looking at them saying, we're not giving you any more money.
No.
So the Big Ten schools are not going to take less per school to go, hey, look what we did.
Yeah, we brought in Oregon and Washington, who have almost no national brand recognition, right? Even when Oregon was at its peak with USC down with NCAA sanctions, you know, they made a couple of BCS championship games, still the ratings were in the toilet. You know, Washington's a good market. They've got to figure out what to do there. And those two schools are in a really tough spot. The four corner schools very naturally roll into the Big 12. I mean, the one school who's really played this well has been Utah, right? Utah, you know, upgraded into the Pac-12. They got a good share. They competed in the major money-making sports. And now, at worst, they're going to end up in the Big 12, which is probably a better natural fit for them anyways, right, as far as travel goes, time zone goes, all of those things. And Colorado, look, Colorado was already there. Like, they're just returning back to what was once the Big 8. So what happens to Oregon, Washington? They're on their own. Because Oregon, the thing that a lot of people overlook is Oregon is tied at the hip to Oregon State. They are a state school. Oregon State wants to go to the Mountain West. They don't want to be in the pack anymore. I mean, their major national sport is baseball. And Washington State doesn't want to be in the pack anymore either. They want to go to the Mountain West. They can be more competitive. It makes more sense for them economically. Bigger fish in a smaller pond. So what's left? Stanford and Cal don't care about sports. UCLA and USC is gone. You just brought San Diego State and either Houston or SMU in. And the four-corner schools go to Yormark at the Big 12. And you and I know Brett Yormark. He's definitely working that. He is shopping right now. Okay. So this is a unmitigated disaster that you and I laughed about this 5 years ago. We said Larry Scott is so incompetent. There's no way he ruins this, though. Like, oh my goodness, he might have just killed the conference.
Yep. And that's what's amazing about what he did was he was hailed for the great TV contract he got, like 2011, 12, whatever.
And then Nobody watched it.
And then he started the Pac-12 networks. The only thing that the Pac-12 networks can help them with right now is that if Apple were to come in, they could use the Pac-12 network facilities because Apple doesn't have facilities.
Yeah. That's literally the only thing left. I mean, just so the listeners understand just how incompetent Larry Scott is. And I don't know Larry Scott, and I don't know if he's a good or bad person. So I'm not talking about the man personally. I've come across him a few times. He's fine, right? He got paid $4 million in bonus every year, just bonus, on top of his normal salary to do this. Well, Steve, you and I are in the wrong job.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was as incompetent doing my job as what happened here, I can't even imagine. They would escort me out of the building 5 minutes ago. And the idea that you took a conference over that, look, let's I'm a USC alum. So, but as you know, we've known each other a long time. You know, it doesn't sway my opinion on this. We all know that the Pac-12 is USC football. You know, some Oregon football recently, UCLA football hasn't mattered. Arizona basketball, UCLA basketball. Like, that's what the Pac-12 has to offer nationally. And that's about it. And instead of doing what you've seen the mega leagues do around the globe, right? Like, Spain knows that Barcelona is who butters their bread. They know it, right? They know Madrid butters their bread. Yep. The same thing in France with PSG and the major programs. The same thing in the Premier League where the top four teams, top six teams get paid more than everybody else because they know that they're the ones buttering the bread. And everybody else is happy to be along and continue to grow. You sat here and you stuck your foot on USC and UCLA's neck so that Oregon, Washington State, all these teams could pull a little more dollars out of it. And now where are we? Now the Golden Goose is dead. They're gone. They don't need you anymore. And what's left?
Yeah, and he's got big problems because your Mark did a great job of jumping over the Pac-12.
The Big 12 was dead 3 years ago. We thought the Big 12 was dead.
Right, and Bob Bowlesby, I give Bowlesby some credit because he's the one that was able to get Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, and UCF into the league to get them to 12. Mark negotiates the exit. Now, it's interesting how he negotiated the exit. The exit happens to be the grant of rights fee.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody's like, oh, look at that. Oh, see, you can buy your way out. That's the grant of rights number.
Really?
Okay.
It's the grant of rights number.
Okay,
yeah.
Next.
It's already predefined.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it was already predefined. So he gets that. So now he's settled. He jumps the Pac-12 because in the pecking order, the Pac-12 is actually next to negotiate. And when he put up the number they put up, that's when the California Board of Regents sat back and went, "What? I thought you told us we were going to get 48 per."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Nah, it's not going to happen, is it?" And that, to me, was that the brilliance of what he has done. I give him a lot of credit. He's put them into the. There's 1A, 1B. They have put themselves in solidly in the number two spot.
It's just amazing how such little things. Well, I mean, they're big, but how much has brought us to this point?
Yeah.
Who knew Under Armour was going to walk on the UCLA deal? If that didn't happen, we might not be having this conversation.
That's right. UCLA,
but Under Armour
they got killed
on the UCLA deal.
Yep, they got killed.
Yeah, they have a $106 million deficit they have to cover, so they have to do something.
Yep.
UCLA sitting here saying, we have no leverage, we have to do something. You and I were laughing when we spoke before that, you know, if anybody's getting the short end of the stick on this one, it's going to be UCLA football. Because when USC and UCLA travel east, and you have, you know, USC at Happy Valley or USC at Ann Arbor. And that's the 7 o'clock game.
Right.
Like, that's the primetime night game. Here come the Trojans from the West Coast. It's going to be wonderful. UCLA at Rutgers, you're playing at 10 a.m. Eastern on the Big Ten Network.
Right. Exactly.
That's just what it's going to be, right? And if Oregon and Washington somehow find their way in there, do you think Oregon at – I mean, we've seen Oregon at Ohio State. It was the day game.
Yeah. It was.
They put it in the middle of the day.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just, it's amazing how these things created leverage and how these just savvy, how savvy the Big Ten was in all this. The minute they saw UCLA was in distress, they looked at that. They looked at the way USC was looking down their nose at the rest of the Pac-12, like, hey, you guys didn't have our backs when we needed it. And they jumped all over it. And it is just fantastic. It is fantastic.
Before the end of the month, your odds that the Pac-12 actually pulls the fat out of the fire, George K., and gets some sort of deal with somebody. Because I know I've been reading, I'll read a lot of John Wilner, who does a really good job.
San
Jose Mercury News.
San Jose Mercury News.
And
he says
every month, he had the Pac-12 is a 5.5-point favorite to survive. He says every month this goes by, he drops it down a half point.
By a half a point,
right?
Yeah.
And I know the Pac-12 CEOs have met, and they claim they're sticking together. So is this the month? And if it doesn't happen, is it done?
I think John, you know, I've been reading John every week as you have, and I think his tone has definitely changed in the last 6 weeks.
Yes, I agree.
From this is an inevitability that they're going to get a deal done to, oh my gosh, maybe they won't. I think a deal gets done. I think it is a crummy deal that he sells off the Friday nights to Amazon. He sells off. I mean, look, they're going to make it. They're going to try to package it to us as if he did something to get some value for the other games, for the Colorado at, you know, Arizona game that's going to be a Saturday afternoon on the Pac-12 networks or whatever. Or is it they're going to stream it somewhere?
Yeah.
But you and I both know, like, you know, when I was working in sports 20 years ago, I worked at the Staples Center when we had the Kobe Shaq Lakers.
Yep.
And if you called in and you wanted to buy a suite for the Kobe Shaq Lakers, you could. Now, we weren't allowed to just change the price, right? So it would be a, you know, $15,000 suite or whatever.
Right.
But we knew what the value was. So we'd say, okay, we'll sell you that suite, but you have to buy two Clipper games, a Kings game, and the women's tennis.
That's right. Yep.
Right? And we were bundling. It's called bundling. It's illegal in the tech world, but we were bundling. Right. You can do that in sports. That's what's going to happen here. They're going to make it look like, oh, I got somebody to buy all these things, and then behind closed doors, when you're talking to Amazon, they're going to say, we bought the Friday night game. We don't care about the rest, right? Like,
right.
You just do whatever you want with it. I think it happens. I think they bring San Diego State in. I think they bring in SMU or, you know, some other program of the like. I can't believe they missed on BYU, which is just crazy. It's just a natural extension, especially with Utah there, and a national brand. I think the four corner schools in the next 5 years are gone. I think they got to go to the 12. They got to. I mean, Colorado is already an also-ran. The Pac-12 move for Colorado has been a disaster.
See,
if you could go back... Yeah. Because, you know, for the listeners who are longer in the tooth like you and I are, Colorado and Nebraska ran the Big Eight.
Yeah.
But they ran the Big Eight in the 90s, back in the Bill McCartney days, right?
Yep.
And Nebraska goes to the Big Ten. They hit hard times for their football program, but they're making money and they're still competitive. They have the money to pay a new coach. They have the money to compete. Nebraska is one good coach and one good class away from being nationally prominent again.
Yeah.
Colorado has not competed in the Pac-12 since they've been here. They're spending a ton of state dollars on Coach Prime and his son coming in. This is kind of their last, it's kind of their death rattle. I mean, if Colorado can't make this work in the next year or two, I don't know if they can. And that was once a nationally prominent program. Colorado won a national title in, I think, 1992 or somewhere around there, 93?
90.
Yeah, they beat Nebraska, or they beat Notre Dame.
Yep.
And I think if you go back and you ask Colorado, like, you give them that choice again. They don't. I don't even think they leave the Big 12.
Yeah.
I think they want to stay.
Yeah. No question. All right. But we'll continue now with our conversation with Tony Knopp. And Tony, you know, we talked about the four corner schools, but, you know, obviously with USC and UCLA leaving, I mean, the hole's there, and that makes schools like Colorado and Utah vulnerable.
They got to. I mean, Colorado is already an also-ran. The Pac-12 move for Colorado has been a disaster.
See,
if you could go back,
yeah.
Because, you know, for the listeners who are longer in the tooth like you and I are, Colorado and Nebraska ran the Big Eight.
Yeah.
But they ran the Big Eight in the 90s, back in the Bill McCartney days, right?
Yeah.
And Nebraska goes to the Big Ten. They hit hard times for their football program, but they're making money and they're still competitive. They have the money to pay a new coach. They have the money to compete. Nebraska is one good coach and one good class away from being nationally prominent again.
Yeah.
Colorado has not competed in the Pac-12 since they've been here. They're spending a ton of state dollars on Coach Prime and his son coming in. This is kind of their last, it's kind of their death rattle. I mean, if Colorado can't make this work in the next year or two, I don't know if they can. And that was once a nationally prominent program. Colorado won a national title in, I think, 1992 or somewhere around there, 93?
90.
Yeah, they beat Nebraska, or they beat Notre Dame.
Yep.
And I think if you go back and you ask Colorado, like, you give them that choice again, they don't. I don't even think they leave the Big 12.
Yeah.
I think they want to stay.
Yeah.
So it's just been this unmitigated disaster. Utah has leapfrogged. USC is finally pushing their weight around. UCLA is trading on their blue blood on their blue blood basketball name, and it's kind of every man for themselves right now. I think a deal gets done. I think it gets done with a revenue share that they're going to try to tell us is somewhere in the $30 million, and you and I are both going to know it's not going to be. It's going to be that's going to be incentive laden. It's probably going to be in the mid-20s.
Yep. It's going to be about, it's going to be about 28. You and I both know it'll be about 28.
28. So now you're Arizona State. You're a massive public institution. For those who don't know, Arizona State has 55,000 people on campus.
Yep.
Right? Massive sleeping giant. You have the resources. You have a state that's done well with their budget. You can go get another big coach to try to clean up for the Herm Edwards miss if they don't end up with sanctions.
Right.
And you're getting a third to a fourth of what your Big Ten and SEC competitors are getting,
yep,
just right off the bat. Why would you ever stay? I mean, it's a compounding rule. I mean, if I'm getting 30 a year and you're getting 90, right? 3 years in, it's 270 to 90.
Well, you know what? This will be the selling point internally. And you tell me if I'm wrong about this. If you stay together in the Pac-10 plus two, SMU, San Diego State, you can get the automatic bid into the college football playoff.
That's what you've got.
And you can do it exponentially easier in this setup than you can someplace else. Is that a fair statement?
That's the argument that people make for Lincoln Riley quite a bit, is that he left Oklahoma because it's going to be easier. This is before they moved to the Big Ten. It'll be easier in the Pac-12 to get to the CFP than it will be in the SEC, right? Well, now he's moving to the Big Ten. That argument doesn't hold up. But, yes, if they can find a way to make it an automatic qualifier, and the CFP is where the real dollars are going to be.
Yep.
Right?
No doubt.
It's to give the listeners an example, back in, and I hate to bore them with this, but it's exactly what's happening here. When the Champions League started really taking off and becoming prominent in the mid to late 90s, there's a lot of money in it.
That's right.
And teams who probably shouldn't have tried to spend to stay in the Champions League were doing it, because much like what's going to happen with the college football playoff, if you get a berth in the college football playoff, you're going to get, you know, X millions, which in the future could be $10, $12, $15, $20 million just to play in that game, right? Just to play in one of those games. It's going to be amazing. And what happened is a bunch of teams who probably shouldn't have over-leveraged themselves and tried to chase it. Leeds was a perfect example. So most people haven't heard about Leeds United anymore, but Leeds United was essentially the Boston Red Sox of English soccer through the 80s and 90s. They won world titles multiple times.
Yep.
And they got into some financial trouble, which is what we're talking about with Arizona State and the other universities here. And they mortgaged everything in 2003 to try to stay in the Champions League, and they missed. They didn't get in. They didn't get the money. They ended up getting relegated from the top level of English soccer, where I think the revenue share now is like 50 to 70 million pounds a year, but at the time it was 20 or 30 million pounds, all the way down to League Two, which would be the equivalent of the Boston Red Sox playing in like the Pacific Coast League.
Yep.
I mean, they just got bounced all the way down.
Yep.
And so when people hear this and they think, eh, it's not that big a deal, the universities aren't going to go, you know, and go back on their word and ditch the Pac-12 to go to the Big 12, there's a ton of examples for this. There's precedents for this across the sports world.
Yep.
Leeds United is a perfect example. It took them 20 years to get back to the top league, and they're not competitive. They're a good enough team, but they're not winning world titles or playing in the Champions League. And so what the CFP does here is it creates this environment where they're going to have all the power in the end. The CFP is going to have all the power, especially with NIL being what it is. You're going to need to be in the CFP to compete, or at least have a clear path to it. And if you're a university trying to recruit a kid and you're saying, come play at Arizona State instead of Penn State, the weather's better, right?
Yeah.
And it's a party school. You're going to have a lot of fun. Not that Penn State isn't a lot of fun. I've been there, too. The response is from Penn State is going to be, we get $90 million a year, so our facilities are five times nicer, and they're only going to get nicer every single year. You're going to be prime time on big networks every week, which is going to help you sell more sponsorships because you are a brand now.
Yep.
And you have a path to the CFP. If you want to go to Arizona State and play in, you know, crappy facilities and maybe get a chance to get into the CFP as the, you know, 8th seed or 16th seed or however big it is at the time and get blasted out, but you're going to play on, you know, Amazon streaming service on Friday night once every 2 months.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Steve, what recruit takes that deal?
Nobody takes that deal. You want to be, you know, that's one thing. The Big Ten went out and they put together an NFL model. Right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Where's the NFL play? One game on streaming. Everything else is NBC, CBS, Fox. Yeah, it sounds like the Big Ten. So,
yeah. You're a national brand. Yep. You can sell your rights. Yep. You can sell it because kids can do that now.
Yeah.
It's what Larry Scott did is a case study in how not to do things. And,
right.
And you and I have been talking about this for years.
Yep.
We've been watching this happen, saying this is incompetence at its highest peak. And he got paid more money than you and I will ever see to run a one-screen conference into the ground. It's just amazing to me. I feel like I'm in the Truman Show sometimes watching that stuff.
You know what? But I'll give you a small example of the incompetence, right? Which to me is like sometimes the small example is like, holy mackerel. When he moved that Pac-12 office out of Walnut Creek and moved it downtown to San Francisco, and the rent was millions per year. What are you doing that for? That was one of those. I mean, that's just a small example right there. I think the Pac-12 gets a 5-year deal, and at the end of the 5-year deal, everybody splinters.
Yeah. If even that, we would have said that about Texas and Oklahoma, and then there's a grant of rights. Like, it's... You know, when you do deals in our world, when you're running tech companies, you do deals and they have it's called structure when you do a deal. So like a company will go out and they'll say, I raised $100 million. And the first thing we do is we look at it and say, I want to know what the structure is.
Right.
And the structure usually is something like, yeah, we gave you $100 million, but if you sell it, we get the first $100 million.
Yeah.
Whatever deal George puts up to try to save it, there's going to be a ton of structure in there. And for all you and I know, you're probably right. It's probably a 5-year deal, but I bet there's a 3-year out. I bet there's a way for people to buy out.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is. It's any kind. It's just like when you're talking about a coach with a buyout. I mean, look at your university. You know what you were doing when you signed up James Franklin. Look at his buyout.
Yeah.
You want to come steal James Franklin from us? You're paying for 5 James Franklins.
Right.
Right? The Pac-12 doesn't have leverage to make it difficult for the Big 12 to come in and say, you know what? We're gonna poach these two schools. What are you gonna do?
Because
your only value is that Friday night and Saturday night game, right? And it's because people are gambling on the East Coast.
Right.
If I take Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah out, so you're gonna have Oregon and Washington play Friday and Saturday night every single week because that's really all you have to sell us now. That people are gonna tune into the Houston at San Diego State game?
Nope.
That's an MWC game.
Yep.
I mean, that's an old Big West game.
I mean, no offense. I don't think you want to tune in to watch Arizona play Arizona State right now.
No.
Do I want to watch Washington play Washington State? I know we can talk about the Apple Cup all we want, but...
I don't care.
No.
I'm a Pac-12 guy, and I don't care.
I think...
It was USC the whole time. Pac-12 football was USC.
Sure it was. I mean...
And it was UCLA until the late 90s.
Right. And then, post Terry Donahue.
Yeah. Cade McNown and all those guys, and then that was it.
Right. And that's the way it's gone. But you know what? The reason I say 5 is that gets you to the end game where, okay, you're okay for 5 years. Yes, you're getting, and the financial disparity will be tremendous between the Pac-12 and everybody else. Right. But then at that point, everybody's going to become a free agent, and they're going to look around and say, we can't do this anymore. I mean, they're probably at that point now. But see, the networks right now are telling them, like, they've told, I mean, I know they've told the Big Ten, look, here's your number.
Yeah.
Okay? Right? How much more do you want
from us?
You
split it up however you want.
Yeah.
Right?
But
we're not going any deeper.
Exactly.
And, you know, you've got the two big, you know, you've got Fox with the Big Ten, you've got the SEC. I mean, people have already paired up.
Yeah.
Right, and it's sad to see, but at the same time, I'm really excited for USC at Penn State. I'm really excited for those games, right? It's going to be fantastic to watch Michigan play at the Rose Bowl in November.
Yeah, and there'll be people
be
there
fun.
Who paid.
There will actually be people who paid to attend the game. Yeah, they'll all be Michigan fans, but it'll be great.
Sure. But they'll be there. Which will be great.
Oh, man. 21,000. They had 21,000 people at a game last year. The stadium that fits 107.
Was that the South Alabama game?
Yeah. They weren't even a fifth full.
Unbelievable.
Craziness.
Next time through, we'll obviously probably do a little post-mortem on what Georgie does here.
Yep.
But there's a lot of talk now that that select committee for the NCAA says we want to increase championships by 25%.
Yep.
Now, that's fine if I want to increase the field hockey championship 25%, but nobody talks about that. As soon as they saw the 25%, all they thought about was the men's basketball tournament, which would get it to 96. We're going to talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Which I think
regular season will definitely not matter at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean,
be a 500 team, you're in.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't be sweating out Thursday.
No, right. Yeah, you guys got one. You got one more and you're in, right? Yeah. You got to get by Illinois and you're in.
Yeah. So, Tony, always a pleasure, my friend.
I appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.